Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in, we give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights and New Power Radio Network. We began Sign of the Times after the unjust Syrman verdict of 2013, and we invite you to continue to support us and our sponsors, Manhood Racing Culture, headed up by Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as James Jones, as well as the liking group page for Manhood, Race, and Culture, and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. We also invite you to support the People's Platform for Equality and Justice here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where we are putting our boots on the ground as revolutionaries and bringing the needs of the community and putting the needs of the community first in our struggle for human rights and liberation. So we thank our previous sponsors and welcome you to tonight's broadcast. I'm going to go ahead and open up my guest microphone, and we're going to get tonight's dialogue started. Tonight I'd like to introduce you to Brother Hakeem Trent. Welcome, Brother Hakeem. How are you doing this evening?
Welcome, sister. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Still fighting a good fight, still swinging at them. You know how we do.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Well, welcome home. Thank you for being a guest tonight. So can you take some time and, you know, feel free. We're all family here, and we deal with each other as such. So take your time. Please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay, my name is Brother Hakeem Trent. I just returned home. I've been serving 20 years in the Virginia State Prison. I was first incarcerated at the age of 16. I did 7 years, 8 months, and I came home for 9 months. I was falsely arrested by the police during a traffic stop, and I had to serve 20 years after doing 9 months of freedom. I'm home now. I'm here for the people, part of a movement called the LIME movement. We for freedom, justice, equality, remove equality, and we're here to stand forth and stand our ground with the abolishment of the prison industrial complex, and we're here to teach people how to free their minds. And our motto is, let's get free.
Ashe, Ashe, that sounds good, brother. I mean, we need you and brothers like you, brothers and sisters like you out here fighting a good fight, because, you know, you get tired sometimes out here and you wonder, like, where is all our help at? So what inspired you all to formulate this group, and tell us a little bit more about what you all do?
See, what brought us to this, you know, to this movement was the slavery, the modern-day slavery we was forced to apprehend and deal with inside the prison system. See, the Virginia prison system has got a long history of slavery. It all started, I'm quite sure everybody heard the story of the brother John Henry. You know, what happened back in the days during the Civil War, they had a prison in Virginia in Richmond called The Wall, located on 500 Spring Street. It was a prison that was designed for the Confederate soldiers to be held captive. When the war was over, the so-called Emancipation Proclamation was brought forth. But the thing was, they freed the Confederate soldiers, and they started putting black people inside these prisons, and they started making them do forceful labor on the train systems. The train system was called Sprint and Northwestern. So this 500 Spring Street was a slave camp that was established from the people. Now, this slavery of working the people while they're incarcerated continue on and on and on even to the day. We were forced to work on a harsh conditions. We were forced to be served the servitude of harsh conditions of no food, no water, no toiletry, and so forth. So we got tired of the system and how it was abusing us and making us feel like dogs, and we stood up for it. And we started advocating for ourselves and started moving for ourselves. This side of the movement started inside the prison system.
Wow. Now, you said that you all started this movement in Virginia. Are there other chapters in other cities? Are you interested in expanding it?
We're very interested in expanding it. Right now, we only have one chapter inside Greenville Correctional Center and another chapter inside Buckingham Correctional Center. But we're interested in expanding with the people. We're starting a study guide. We're having a poetry reading session. We're doing seminars for the people inside and outside of the prison. We're here to teach the people how to free their minds, because we believe in a change, but this change is going to be brought forth. It's going to be brought forth mentally and spiritually. You know, in order to get rid of the physical change, you got to free your mind first, you know, and we believe in that. We stand strong with that. We want to teach people the proper education, how to free themselves mentally from what's going on inside the government and other things that keep them locked up in with their health and cancers and things like that. You know, we want to make sure we be an advocate for the people.
Ashe, Ashe. So when we talked before, you were kind enough to write a piece for Bars Beyond Bars magazine. Do you have any of your writings that you could share with us tonight?
No, I don't have any on hand right now. They're going to be presented online Thursday, next Thursday.
Okay,
I have a whole book coming out next Thursday.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, I want to continue to have you and brothers, you know, that are involved with what you're doing. Is this mostly black males, or are there women involved as well?
Oh, yeah, we got women involved. We even got some Puerto Rican brothers involved, too. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to form an alliance, right, dealing with equality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we believe in the social justice of the people. We're trying to make sure we're trying to uplift humanity. That's what it's all about, the upliftment of fallen humanity. We bring it forth the divine principles that were set forth before us here in the soil of the will of North America. So right now, we're willing to help anybody, and we're willing to build with anybody that's willing to fight for the same cause we're fighting for.
You talk about divine principles. Is this a spiritual movement, or are you speaking literally?
It's a spiritual movement. Yes, indeed. We're more spiritual than anything. We believe in the Most High, and we believe in staying bonded with our spirituality.
Ashe, that's important. We can't do anything without the Creator giving us the strength, wisdom, and knowledge to be able to, you know, come up against this system. So, I mean, if somebody says, well, you know, you just a person. You know, this system's been intact for hundreds of years. We're fighting a system that has more military strength, has more money, has more of a lot of things than the common average person does. What do you do to uplift the people to make them know how powerful we actually are?
People find themselves trapped in the matrix. Not only is that, they're being deceived with a smoke screen. You know, what's happening is they're allowed to be deceived by materialistic things. We all heard the story of the wolf, you know, wanting something you can't have and thinking you're getting more, when in actuality you ain't getting nothing, you know. So the system alone has the people thinking that way. So you got to think outside the box, meaning think it's outside the system. But in order to do that, the first step is not as a self. You don't know yourself, and you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. So first thing first is we teaching the people about themselves. We teach them to love themselves, to know themselves, and care about themselves. And not only that, care about your neighbor, care about the people, care about the ones who are struggling with you. You know, I came out of here, I saw these people 20 years, you know, straight. I did a time before that. I was in prison since I was 16 years old. I turned 44 in October. I can never forget the brothers I left behind in that prison cell. You know, they for me, I'm for them. And I understand the struggle they've been through. I understand the struggle that's going out here on the streets. When I come out here, I see the brothers. I'm out here with them right now. You know, I'm hands-on with this. You know, this ain't just talk. I'm out in the community, hands-on, helping the people, teaching the people. This is what it's all about. So we need to be more constructive with our approaches. You know, we need to go out and actually do the things we say we're going to do. This manifestation, what I'm saying, got to be brought to reality and fruition through our actions. You know, they say love is charity and action. Love is charity and action. I mean, we need to go out and do something to show the people our love.
So how are we going to compete with this hip-hop and all the other things that are so easy to get with something that that people have to actually work for?
No, so like with the hip-hop, you know, it was a time, right, because I sat back and looked at it, right, I analyzed it real good, you know, in my era, you know, when you know, the movement, you know, hip-hop evolves every 5 years to me, right, you know, so, when, you know, we had one time, we had KRS-One, we had the brother Rakim, we had Brand New and so forth, it evolved, we had the brothers teaching the message got misconstrued, the message always get tampered with and misconstrued, because the wrong people lead the forefront for the message. The message can't, but the message is always there. It never changes. But as long as the right brothers and sisters is carrying on the torch for the message will never get deceived. It will never get taken away. So you still got the brothers there, still got the sisters there also that's out there carrying the message through hip-hop. But right now, it's getting watered down by the other people who not really for the people, you know. So I told a brother today, like, he asked me, he said, brother, you going to the mall, you want to get some Gucci, you want to get that and that. I said, man, I don't support them labels, man. I support those that support the people, you know. Support the labels. Support the labels is for the people, though, you know. That's what you got to do. Independence, self-owned, self-resurrection, self-dependency, you know, doing for self, owning that self, get our own for our own people. That's what I believe in, you know, and then we can start doing something. But the music is the message. The bigger the drum is the message. So we can carry out this torch with the hip-hop, but we got to have the right people in charge to do this, you know. I believe we can get done.
So, you know, going back to the fact that we are spiritually in the age of Aquarius, you know, and in a perfect position for self-discovery, self-empowerment, and in that, using that strength to help uplift and empower our community. So there are others, though, who think that showing love is a sign of weakness. And something that, you know, it makes you vulnerable even to, you know, opening yourself up to, you know, having your feelings hurt, maybe even getting hurt mentally, physically, and spiritually. So, you know, what do we do about the fact that even being involved in this conversation tonight, like we're making ourselves vulnerable and opening ourselves up on behalf of our people, but how do we convince others that's a sign of strength and not weakness?
I think first thing first is we got to understand what love is, you know. You know, it's hard for an individual to show and manifest love to others, but they don't understand what love is and don't know, first and foremost, how to love themselves. You know, you got to know how to love yourself and have love for others second, you know, and understand what love is very important. It's going to build this one thing called understanding. Understanding the best part of life. That's supreme right there, supreme understanding of love. So in order for the people to understand that, to go out and say, hey, I need to help this brother, I need to help this sister, they got to first understand how to love themselves first. They don't know their self-value and their self-worth. You know, the people have put these subliminal messages and direct messages inside their head to make them feel less of themselves, you know. But understanding the existence of the people, you know. So right now, we got to teach the people how to first love themselves. You know, you wake up in the morning time, you wake up, you stretch, you eat good, eat a healthy breakfast, you get up, you meditate, you pray to the Most High. That's first, that's loving yourself. Not only loving yourself, taking care of yourself and loving your environment. We start moving these actions, these footsteps, then we can start going out to the people and say, hey, I want to show you this love that I have for myself. I want to manifest the same love I have for myself to you. You know, that's the first thing first that people need to see.
I definitely agree with that. So you said you were wrongfully convicted. Was this the conviction that you were wrongfully imprisoned on? Was that the second or the first one?
It was the second one. The first time I went to prison at 16, I spent 7 years and 8 months. Right, I get out only 9 months. I'm leaving the shipyard. Come from my occupation. Right, a police pulled me over. You know, so I'm reaching for a gun. I'm reaching for my ID. You know. The police started shooting at me and everything and went to court and told them I had a gun. They never found a gun on me, you know. Later on, during 2 weeks later, they said they so-called found a gun hidden in the back of my car seat, you know. It was a crazy situation, right? I did 20 years on the – I was sentenced to 21 years to the Virginia Department of Corrections. I served 20 years on that because I wouldn't conform to their laws and their rules and regulations inside the prison. The whole time I rebelled, whole time, because I wouldn't let them – break my mind. They wanted to break me in there. You know, the people put me in padded rooms and everything. They gave me false medications, all types of stuff. They wanted to break me in there. I was in there teaching the people. Dangerous. See, Brother Malcolm, when he went to prison, he became dangerous because he educated himself. That was a dangerous thing for him. Became a threat. So now, the overseers, when you come to prison, you become smart. Now you're more dangerous. Now you a threat. You're not a threat when you come back out here from prison. You get back in the same drug game that put you in there. You a threat when you come out here and you're educated. Now you're dangerous. That's what they're scared of. It's power. Now it's power.
That's right. So how did you, I mean, I couldn't imagine being incarcerated for something I didn't do. And I talk to brothers all the time that, you know, we got a brother, Chaz Bunch, who was convicted at 16 for rape and kidnapping, but there was no DNA evidence. Now, how could he rape anybody and there not be any DNA? And so he was identified by the victim who was also, you know, under the age of 25. We know the brain doesn't mature until the age around 25, 26. let alone with any extenuating circumstances an individual might be dealing with. But she didn't identify him until she saw his picture in the paper and under pressure from the prosecutor's office. So we finally got him a trial. The Supreme Court finally has given him an opportunity to have a new trial. But he's done 22 years, being at the age of 16 when he went in, and it's been a process. So I've met brothers before who have been wrongfully convicted. But how did you not succumb? You know, how did you not give up on yourself and who you were, knowing in your heart, you know, that you were there and you shouldn't have been?
I kept my mind focused on the fact that I'm going to get out. One day I'm going to get out of here. You know, it was hard, right? I'm not going to sit here and make it like I'm a tough guy. No, like, it was very hard. Cried many nights, you know. But I kept my mind focused on, I had to not only do it for myself, I had to do it for my family. My family needed me out here. My mom, she old. You know, my sister out here, she got kids. My family needed me. So I had to stay strong for them. You know, not only for myself, but for them. But, you know, I used a story from the beginning when I first started talking about John Henry, because it was a very important story if you read about it. You know, the brother was out, supposed to have been so-called shoplifting. You know, and at the time, you know, it was out sending out Trump charges to incarcerate people to put them inside prison so they can use them for labor. You know, that's more or less dealing with the 13th Amendment and so forth, right? But, you know, the thing is, you know, when you put people, the objective is to go out the same way back in the days when they brought us here to Swords North America. You go out, you arrest people. You bring them in, you put them on the slave camps, the plantations. Ain't nothing changed. Nothing has changed. The overseers, the police, they go out, they arrest the people, bring them back to the plantation, put them in the fields, make them work. It's the same thing. nothing never changed. You know, it's a new day, but everything's still the same when it comes to slavery. You know, everything's still the same. So me being in the right or me being wrong wasn't the point. The point was the economics. The point was the money they was going to get off my labor. You know, they needed somebody to fill that void and fill that space. So they put me in there. They put me in there to be a slave. That's 20 years of free labor to them. They keep going on and on and on again. You know, when a person enters the courtroom, you know, the question of whether he's guilty or she's guilty, it never comes into play. It doesn't matter. Because if you think about it, if a person was inside a courtroom and they actually discussed the details of what took place of that person, he wouldn't get incarcerated. You should say you got a man hard you on the streets, and he goes into the store and he shoplifts. You know, they don't ask why the details of why he shoplifts. This man is hungry or he lost his job. He got to feed his kids. Because they would ask these questions and go into details, he wouldn't go to prison. You know, they're starting finding programs and things for him to get involved in. You know, the reason why these things don't get discussed or get talked about, because it's not about that. It's about slavery. It's about putting them in prison and getting that cheap labor out of them.
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right, brother. You're absolutely right. So when you see the state of America and how hypocritical, I guess, the system is, where they can go to other countries and call themselves fighting and advocating for people who can't fight and advocate for themselves, but yet they treat you know, us the way they do in our neighborhoods and the school system, and especially in the prison system, what's your political I guess analysis of that? Like, how is it, do you see that the United States is able to do this in other places but refuses to see it about themselves?
It's right now it's a objective of what I call trying to get out the back door, but you couldn't get out the front, right? And the reason why I'm saying that for is because of this. You know, the actual thing that needs to be taking place when it comes to the masses is you need to address mental health. You know, if all these people are doing all these crimes and you know, it's supposed to be so-called insane with the mass shootings and so forth and on, you know, the mental health needs to be addressed. But the money that they collect to do for wars and build more prisons and so forth instead of building schools and programs that we need is not getting spent the right way. You know, the mental health system needs to be addressed. You know, you go inside them prisons right now and you go through a cell block or a pod or dormitory and so forth, half of the brothers in there have serious You know, and sometimes they came there with them, and sometimes they developed them while they're in there. But these mental health issues are not addressed at all. It's a thing of we call it a psychotic or psychosis manifestations that's being developed outside and inside the prison. You know, so right now, you know, the mental health needs to be addressed, and the money that's been spent on these wars could be spent on that. I mean, I seen it. I look at the news. I'm very blessed with the news. I take notes on the news. You know. Everything that takes place in this state I'm in and outside this state, even the whole world, you know, I see how they spend money, you know, over there across seas to fight a war. We ain't got nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? I understand that. But the thing is that they want to show the people in my eyes that the money that the tax is coming from, be doing this with it, you know, instead of taking care of all these people in California on Skid Row, homeless, you know, or that train wreck that happened out there. You know, it's self-explanatory, they're not for the people, you know, or not for us, should I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're not for us, you know. It's deeper than that. I believe we need to get out and get through our own, you know. We need to be self-dependent. You know, we need to move on our own, you know. It's nothing for the people to reach, extend their hand and help you out, and then we get mad because they ain't helping. But if you get up and do it yourself to a certain extent, then, you know, you're putting forth progress, you know. When I was in prison, I took a classroom. It was called horticulture. I took it. I became certified through Virginia Tech. I learned how to cultivate the land. You know, I learned how to grow crops and flowers and so forth. That was the most, the best skill trade I got when I was in prison. Because now I can go out, I can come out here right now and hit the soil and I can, you know, grow my own crops. That's powerful to me, you know, to be able to produce my own food. That's a trait that we lost a long time ago when we came over here. You know, that's important. But these are the type of things I want to teach the people. These are the type of things the LIME movement is trying to do for the masses.
So how do people get in touch with the LIME movement? And, you know, where do you see it going within the next few years?
I see it being global. Right now, you know, to be honest with you, I'm the only brother that's in the forefront of it, right? But at the same time, you know, you got to bear with me. I've been going 20 years. I learned how to use the phone last week. What I'm doing is I'm going through the rubber turbulence of how to use the internet and things like that. But next week, we're supposed to get together, and we're going to put forth the websites. We got a couple of speakers and gatherings that we're going through in Richmond, Virginia, and Chesterfield, Virginia, North Virginia, all next week. As things develop this week and next week, I'm going to reach out to the people so everybody can get involved. That I want hands in. I want everybody to get involved with this. I feel like I'm very, very, very proud of what's going to happen with this ahead of time. You know, I see it. It's like a prophecy to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I laid back in that cell. I thought about a day for 20 years, getting out and helping the people and doing this. So I see it being very successful, but it won't be successful without the help of the people. It's a collective. It's social equality right here.
Ashay, so if people want to get in touch with you, they can do so through me, if they like, and I'll pass their information on. You can reach us at signothetimes19@gmail.com. You also can give me a call directly at area code 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. Brother, what can I do besides, you know, having you on the air? What do you need help with?
I need some help with, you know, basically keeping up with our, like, letting the people know what we're doing. Like, events that we're going to have, you know, we're going to be across the whole country. It's not going to be just a Virginia thing. You know, with brothers trying to set up shop everywhere. Like, we're trying to make sure that people are being reached and being taught everywhere. It's a universal thing like it. So let's keep the people abroad and let them know what's going on with the LIME movement. You know, the things that we're doing, the events we have, and things and so forth, and like spreading the word on how to get in contact with us when we get this website and other things set up. So that's what it's all about. You know, we're trying to throw concerts and events. We're trying to have plays and show writings. We're trying to do everything for the people. You know, I'm trying to get a nonprofit program developed so the people can learn how to go out and grow crops and plants and take care of themselves. This is what we're trying to do. So it's much love, and I appreciate y'all coming out and hear what I had to say. And all I ask for you to do is keep the word spread of what we're trying to do for the people.
Ashay. Well, you know, we appreciate everything, Brother Trent. You know, keep your head up and, you know, keep doing what you're doing because we definitely need it. The brothers both in the free world and behind the walls need it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing to grow with you and to be here as a support mechanism for everything that you're doing. So is there anything else that you would like to say to the community as we get ready to close out?
That's it. So I appreciate you.
All right, y'all. Again, if you need to get in touch with Brother Trent, you can feel free to do so until they get their website and everything set up. You can feel free to reach out to me, Queen Tahira, area code 513-913-2691. 513-913-2691. You also can reach out to us on Facebook as Queen Tahira, Sign of the Times, and New Power Radio Network, and email me, signothetimes19@gmail.com. Thank you, Brother Trent. You feel free to come back on next Thursday if you want to and keep everybody abreast of the progress that you're making. And, yeah, we can get some more comrades on here to join you as well. I know a brother here in Cincinnati who does websites, and he just came home too, here in the state of Ohio. So I'm a link you two up, okay?
Okay, that worked. I appreciate you so.
All right, everybody. We're gonna go ahead and close out for the evening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of tonight's energy and sharing your time with us tonight. We're gonna close out with let me see. I'm going to pick something hopefully inspiring to the listening audience. This is Queen Tahira signing off for the evening. We'll see you all next time. Peace.
Imagine many times her eyes fall back to tears, Lord, Lord. And when her useful world was about to fall in, each time a slender shoulder possession, I would pick her from the garden to be mine. Yeah.
See, I know you have it hard sometimes, but when you feel like you need me, or you can call me, you see, because I'll be somewhere around. You see, not only that, you see, I'll be your bridge over troubled waters. You see, the reason why I say this, baby, is because I love you, girl. I love you so much. Sometimes I can't even explain. You see, you're like a flower that blooms in any season. And that's why I like to say, you're my flower, baby. You're my flower. Ooh, baby. A flower. Flower, flower, it's you, baby.